We've been coming to the end of the book of Philippians. We've landed on chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And that's what we have been doing and we are doing today. I think it's absolutely perfect where we've come to for today, the first Sunday of 2020. And we are going to think about these things. And the word think there means to not just kind of give it a passing thought, not think like we think in America. We think in America about things like this, click, click, oh this person, oh look at that article I'm thinking about, and I have all these things, distractions. That's not this think about. This think about means we stop and we slow down, and maybe we grab our Bible and our coffee cup and we sit down on a quiet evening or a morning and we actually think about these things. It could be anywhere for you. It could be any time for you. It could be morning or night. It could be with your family. It could be by yourself. But somehow, somewhere, you quiet everything going on in your mind. And if you can't, I guess you're just going to be disobedient to the command of God. Because He says, quiet yourself and think about, meditate these things. That's what the command is. So we've been thinking about a little bit, and I hope you have. Think about whatever's true, not concealed. Absolutely. Think about what is really true in this society, in our culture, in the Word of God, in Jesus. Where will you find what's true? And if you really think about that, it's going to be a very narrow slot. Think about whatever's honorable, gravitas, weighty, heavy. This is the meat of God. Not the frivolous, not the silly, not the stupid. He's asking us to think about the meat, the weightiness, the honorableness of God and what He's done. Today, beginning 2020, starting off on the right foot with God, He is telling us to think about whatever is just. Whatever is just. So if I were to take a poll in this room and say, what does that mean? What does it mean, just? What does that mean? I would get a lot of answers. You can feel it's close to justice. You can sense that. Justice, just. It is part of that. This word just had a bit of a kind of legal, kind of a courtroom feel to it. There's an established and an official declaration of justness, of innocence, of right. Acceptable before God. And that is key for us to know. Whatever is just or righteous, just equals righteous. They're the same. They're exactly the same in the Bible. It's the same Greek word. Just equals righteousness determined by God. Not me and not you. Not what is right. If it's your Sunday school class, you get to determine what is right, what is rightly done, what is right for your class. But we in the church, we are told to think about what is just, what is right, determined by, decided by, declared by, God. Think about what God declares as righteous. And again, it's going to narrow. Start walking out there. What's righteous? What has God declared righteous and just? What has God determined is right? It's not you, and it's not me determining it. Think about what God says is just or righteous. Just think about it. Quiet, 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 quiet. Think about these things. I too lead a Bible study. And we are going through Romans. And our men, we go through a section and we go, we got to tell this to the church, man. This is so cool. So today, I am going to be in Romans for a good amount of time, helping us to think about righteousness, justness, as determined by God, not us. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. I'll begin there. And I've given you this definition. Just and righteous are the same. It is innocent, it is acceptable. The Jews loved this word because they kept the law and there was this legal flavor to it. If we were standing before Judge God, He would say, innocent, that's right, that's good behavior, that's acceptable. That's just. What God determines is right and acceptable according to Him and His standards. Think about that. Think about that. This is the greatest illustration in the Bible of what it means for a person to be just or righteous standing before God. The story begins in verse 19. Abraham was just told he was going to have a baby. Him and Sarah would have a baby. And the hard part was that he was about 100 and Sarah was 90 and she'd never had a baby her entire life. And God just told her, you're going to have a baby. And Abraham believed God. Verse 20. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. Now, you take your Bible, if you're a Bible person, or maybe you have a phone, you highlight anything in those two verses that stands out to you of faith, that stands out to you as important. No unbelief made him waver. He grew strong. He grew strong. Faith grows. He gave glory to God. He was fully convinced. Start underlining these things. He's fully convinced God was able to do what He had promised. Brothers and sisters, God has promised us so many things. Is He able to do it? That's the question. He has promised all this. Is it mine and yours? Is He able to do it? Abraham believed God that he was able to do this. He was so fully convinced. Look at verse 22. That is why, this is absolutely critical for you and I, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness or justness. That is why my faith, that is why your faith will be counted to you as righteousness, as justness. That is why I will be just before God, as determined by God, not determined by me. I will never determine my justness before God. He does it all, and this is why it will be. My faith in God's promises. I'm fully convinced. Absolutely. I'm growing. My faith is growing. I don't understand it all. I might understand very little about some things. But my faith is growing, and I am praising God, fully convinced this is going to happen. Whatever He said, He's coming back. I'm fully convinced He's coming back. He died on a cross for my sins. I'm fully convinced of that. And He rose again the third day and ascended into heaven. I'm fully convinced of that. And He's coming back. And He's going to judge the living and the dead. And I'm fully convinced of that. No question. And I'm giving glory to God. And He looks down on me and He says, innocent, you're mine. Come on in. I'm counting you righteous. You are just. And Terry and I had this conversation. Yeah, but we're not really. Because I know me. And you know what? I beg to disagree with that. At the end of our conversation, I said, well, you know, if He declares me just, aren't I just? If He says you're righteous, aren't you righteous? Right. If He said it, then okay, I'm good. Who am I to say something other? So I'm looking out on you and I'm saying, here's the promises. And here's why your faith, this is why your faith will be counted righteousness. God will say, innocent, done, you may leave. Next, He declares it. He determines it because my faith won't move off of what He said is going to happen. Done, innocent. Over. Let's read on. Verse 23. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, not written for Abraham alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our, here it is, justification. Jesus was raised for you and I to be justified before God. That is why He was raised from the dead. And if we believe this, fully convinced, growing in our faith, no, unbelief makes me stray down another path. I'm staying with God. I believe He can do what He said He's going to do. I believe Jesus was delivered up on that cross and His blood paid for every one of my sins. And He was raised up on that third day so I would be called innocent. New life. New person. You're all new. And if I believe that, I'm banking on that. I'm betting the farm on that. God says, you're mine. You're righteous. I'm counting that as innocence for you. You're mine. That's what it says. Verse chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, I believe the promise of God. I believe exactly what He just said. Not wavering. It's done. If we believe it, we have been justified. He looks down on you and on me, and He says, you're just. Then we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also obtain an access, an open door by faith into grace in which we can stand. And so many people are so afraid that if they trust Christ, they won't be able to stand. They won't be able to live it out. So He says, I'm giving you an open door to grace. You will stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So Jesus was raised for our justification. He was raised so that this sinner would be declared innocent, righteous. And I'm a sinner. But Jesus conquered sin when He rose from the cross. He conquered it. Life for me. That's me. I have now conquered sin. I beat it. It doesn't have me anymore. I'm a whole new person now. Innocent, Terry. Innocent. I had no access to God. Before I believed, I had no access to God. And if you're here saying, I just don't fear God. I just don't know where He's at in my life. And I've been going through life and these bad things happen to me. And where's God been? You don't have access. You're saying, where's God? There's no peace with God. I went from no peace with God. Where's God? Why is my life so stinking? Why am I in so much trouble? I have no peace. I don't feel the love. I went from that to peace with God. Peace with God. And I feel it. And now I have access. People say, I pray to God and I don't even feel like He's there. I don't know where He's at. I don't know what's going on. I have access to God now because Jesus rose from the grave for me. I went from dead to alive with Jesus. He was raised for my justification. I am now innocent. I am now righteous before Him. And with that comes perks. Peace. Peace. I am at peace with God. I have access. When things get hard, I have access to grace. And my sad, pathetic countenance, disposition on life turned into joy. And it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce character and patience and hope. And God's love has been poured into my heart that even when I suffer, I rejoice. And you talk about an eternal home. There's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And that was my home. And now Jesus said, no, son, I've prepared a place for you to come and be with me. There's a whole new place prepared now for me because I've been declared by God, determined by Him, not me, determined by Him. Terry is just. Terry is innocent. And there are some beautiful, beautiful things that go with that. These folk needed to learn that their religious system did not make them just. Their own thinking did not make them just. God determines a person's righteousness. He's the one who makes us just when we believe just like that, fully convinced, growing stronger in my faith, reading my Bible, putting the pieces together, seeing the face of God here, knowing Him, feeling that love, knowing I have access. He is there, even when I suffer. I know He's there, and I have joy. When I believe like Abraham believed, and when we as a family, when we believe that, it is counted to us as righteousness. His cross paid for my sins, and he was raised for a total new life for us. So do I get to live any way I want to? Questions there. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? Verse 2. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So if that's your big question, oh, so I get to do whatever I want, then there's your answer. By no means. You go home and read it. That's lame. That's unbelief on your part to say, faith alone will not gain me righteousness. I have to live this way. That is unbelief on your part. That is total unbelief on your part. When this says, can I live any way I want? And he says, no way. There's your answer. No way. You believe like this and your life will change. Your thinking will change. Your heart will change. Your love will change. Your direction will change. Everything about you will change. Or you don't believe like that. Abram's name was changed. God said, that's right, you believe. Now you're not Abram anymore. You're Abraham. And she's not Sarai anymore. She's Sarah. I'm changing everything about you. I'm making you just. You are righteous now. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 30, is another one of these amazing sections that you need to highlight. You need to mark. You need to draw pictures. Because the question is, what shall we say then? He's saying, so is this what you're saying? And he's talking about Israel, who was so diligent with their religion. They were so diligent with the law. And he's saying, are you telling me that these other nations, these other people, like those in Goshen, Indiana, are you saying to me that they weren't even looking for righteousness? They didn't have this magnificent religion? Are you saying that God declared them just but not Israel, who's working so hard at their religion? That's what he says. Listen. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is a righteousness that is by faith. Are you saying that those heathen were declared just because they believed like that? But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, they did not succeed in reaching that law. Here's the question. Why? Why won't our religion gain us righteousness? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were by works. They've stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him, Jesus, will not be put to shame. They thought that this diligence to their religious system was going to gain them righteousness, justness. And he said, what? They didn't, because it's like they're basing it on their works. And it is not based on works. That is unbelief. They stumble over Jesus, over his blood washing every sin away and his resurrection totally changing their life and their being. They stumble over him. But the key verse is right here, chapter 10, verse 1. Listen, follow along closely. This may be your eternity. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. They are unsaved. Righteousness, justness, salvation are all the same. I'm praying for them to be saved. Listen, verse 2. I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, passion for God, fire for God, woo, for God, but not according to knowledge. They don't know Him. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own. They did not, here's the phrase, circle, highlight, here it is, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end of works to everyone who truly believes like Abraham. He's the end of it. No more works, no more law, no more your righteousness. They were seeking to establish their own. They're ignorant. They would not let God determine their righteousness. God said, here is righteousness, and they were busy with their legal works system, all their good works, trying to live it up to. They were busy with that, creating their own. And they would not, key, submit to God's righteousness. Will you submit to God's determination of righteousness? I'm always amazed that these two things that Israel had a problem with, they always seemed to go together. They had a religious system. They had a religion. They had a church. Whatever. They had their religious belief, way, tradition, goes back to their fathers, 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 fathers. They had their religion. But he says they were seeking to establish their own righteousness. And those two always go together. Anybody who is basing it on their works, on unbelief, and they're working for it, it always works out. Works always works for them. Even in their religion. You'll never find someone in a works-based thinking where it doesn't work out for them. They take their religion and they tweak it and they shape it and somehow they meet the demands of their religion. Somehow they're just above 50% and God's going to take that top 50% and somehow they always work it out by their works that they will make it. And probably their sons and daughters too who haven't set foot in a church in 100 years and don't believe in Jesus, but somehow they have this thing and they're going to make it too. Works always works out for that person in their mind that won't submit to God's righteousness, to fully believe without wavering. It's a growing faith. But this is what he said, and this is what it is. Folks, I'm telling you, this is what it is. You will be declared righteous by God for faith and faith alone. And if you have works in your system, you're an unbeliever. You need to know that. You're an unbeliever. It is not finished, as Jesus said on the cross. You are an unbeliever if there are works in your system. Don't establish your own righteousness. I'll show you this verse quickly. I don't know how important it is to us right now. Those who won't submit to God's righteousness, you just won't. You have to put your works on it. You have to put your fingerprints on it. You will not submit to His righteousness by faith. So you have a religion and you're very zealous like Israel was, very fired up like Israel was, missing it just like Israel was. Sometimes you and I, we are sharing testimonies here. And there are some tendencies, I would say, for you to hear a testimony here, maybe something like mine, and for you to go, well, I've never broken the law like you have. So, I'm a pretty good person, really. I've always been a law-abiding citizen. Always been a law-abiding citizen. In Revelation chapter 22, and Mark has this, and we're talking about the end of the Bible here. We're talking about it is done. We're talking about you going that way and you going that way. Revelation 22, verse 14 reads this way. And these are believers. These are us. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and they may enter the city by the gates. That's us. I've washed my robe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Now leave that right there. So there are the ones who don't make it. Those are the ones outside. You will not make it in. And I ask you, look at that list right there. And tell me how many of those are illegal today in Goshen, Indiana. I don't know what it means exactly to be a dog. I guess it's a mutt, it's a scavenger. You kind of grab up a piece of this and a piece of that and you just eat whatever's thrown at you. And you really don't have the faith. They called Samaritans dogs because they were so mixed. And I guess that's the people who kind of mix. They have to take a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that religion, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, just in case. And I'm just kind of eating off a lot of plates here. Maybe that's what it is, but it's certainly not illegal in Goshen, Indiana to be that way. A sorcerer. Greek word pharmakia has to do with drugs. It's to do with medical magic. In some places, there are illegal drugs, although they're getting ready, fighting the fight to legalize marijuana. I can go up the road, I can get any prescription I want, go out here and sell it, do whatever I want. Partially, maybe partially illegal, but not entirely. Sexual immorality is totally legal in our country. Becoming more and more legal of all kinds. No one ever gets arrested for a heterosexual sleeping with your partner, moving in with someone. You're never going to get arrested for sexual immorality. Murder. Some forms of murder still are illegal, although we abort murder a billion babies a year. Idolaters, you have an idol in your house. You worship these other religions and gods. It's not illegal. Everyone who loves and practices falsehood, lying, it's not illegal. So for you to say, I've never broken the law, so what? It means nothing. Because all these people don't go in and they haven't broken the law either. Those things aren't illegal in Goshen, Indiana. Because you're a law-abiding citizen, so what? Don't establish your own righteousness. Don't be so religion stuck in the traditions of your fathers and your grandmothers. It's always going to work out for you. You're always going to shape that thing. It's always going to work for you. It's just not God's righteousness. You're an unbeliever. if there are works in your belief system. I'm just going to tell you, you're an unbeliever in God's righteousness. And certainly because you don't have a testimony like mine of breaking the law day in and day out, that means nothing to this. Because our country doesn't follow God's laws. So, there it is. Think about it. Think about it. We need to stop. The church in America on this steamroller ahead, 90 miles an hour, get me a band in here. Get me colored lights. Get me this. Get us that. Smoke and mirrors. Let's go. We need to stop and think about what it means to be just, as determined by God, not us. Think about it. Two things. Two very practical issues that go with this. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. If you will start 2020 with God's righteousness, if you will start 2020 by letting God declare you just on His terms, you will have faith. You will have faith. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. You will have faith, but it will be weak. You will have faith, but you will have idiosyncrasies and opinions and weirdness about you. We all do. And we are going to welcome each other with those things, but we're not going to quarrel over your opinions and your idiosyncrasies and your pet beliefs. You're going to be weak in the faith, but it's going to grow. Just like Abraham's, it grew. He grew strong in the faith. This is going to grow. But we're not going to quarrel over opinions, preferences. And that's what this is about. Chapter in verse 3, he says, don't despise each other. Don't pass judgment on each other over idiosyncrasies, over preferences. Why do you wear that stupid purple shirt to church every Sunday? Because it's God's favorite color, and I want to please God. That's a preference. That's an idiosyncrasy. It means nothing to me. If you like it, good. You wear that purple shirt every Sunday. I don't care. Why do you have a coffee pot over there? Because we want one. It means nothing in the kingdom of God. It's a preference. It's an opinion. It's not sin. It's not doctrine. It's an opinion. And we have those. We all have those. Come to Jesus' righteousness, and that's fine. We get it. We're not going to quarrel over it. We're going to welcome each other with those things. Notice what he says in verse 13, chapter 14, verse 13. Let us not pass judgment on each other any longer, but rather, here's something more important for you. Here's something more important for you that want to come to me with my righteousness. You want God's righteousness declared over you. Here's something more important when you come together with a group of those people. He says, rather than chewing each other up and spitting each other out over, you wear a suit and he wears blue. Why does that pastor wear blue jeans? What? Rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Rather than get so perplexed and frustrated with each other about your opinions and your little idiosyncrasies, more importantly, don't cause that weaker brother to stumble. Don't hinder that weaker brother. Pursue mutual growth with one another in peace. And the key verse is in verse 17, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God, and this is where we want to go, this is it. You want in the kingdom of God by God's justness. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of how you dress or look or wear, what color of carpet you got, what music you play. It's not a matter what kind of Bible you carry. You got a King James, you got an NIV, you got an ESV. The kingdom of God is not a matter of opinions. It's not a matter of this is how you've done it all your life. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but of what? Righteousness. We just said that. Of peace with God and of joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is about. This church does it that way. I don't care. This church does it that way. Okay. This church, this place, my grandma, I don't care. I want the righteousness of God. The kingdom of God is not about any of your idiosyncrasies, any of your favoritisms, any of your stuff. The kingdom of God is about believing His promises and being declared righteous. It's about righteousness. Have you submitted to God's righteousness by faith alone? Have you received peace with God, or are you still an enemy trying to work it off? Do you have the joy that fills your soul by the Holy Spirit, the love of God? Even in your suffering, you know God is for me. He is with me. That's the kingdom of God. Not your pettiness. Whoever serves Christ this way is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. We know when we come to Christ, we come with our little pet peeves and our pettiness, but we're going to put it off. We're going to throw it away. We're not going to argue about it, because that is not how you get to the kingdom of heaven, and it's certainly not acceptable service to God. Finally, one last example that may make you a bit uncomfortable. I really, you know me, I hate to make you uncomfortable. Christmas story. Let's put Christmas to bed one last time. Kind of weird, isn't it? We only preach this passage once a year. Just. You're just before God. It's God's righteousness blanketing you. God has declared you just. You're a just person. It's beautiful. There's a just person here in the Christmas story, and I want you to listen really carefully to me. Listen very carefully what was happening here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. And her husband Joseph, Mary, her husband Joseph, being a just man, he was right in God's sight. He believed God. He was under the law. Jesus hadn't even come yet. They were getting ready to have birth, right? But like Abraham before Jesus, he believed everything about God's righteousness, and he was just. He was a just man. Matthew's writing this years ahead, looking back. That was a just man. Why was he just? Why was he just? Listen. Her husband being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. This just man was about to divorce his wife. This just man. And that's not why he was just. That's not the point. The point was, he's going to divorce her quietly, not put her to shame. You see, this just man, he had just cause to divorce Mary. At least he thought. She cheated on him. And you can read the Old Testament all you want. Read it upside downside. You cheat on your spouse, that is cause to divorce your spouse. Your spouse cheats on you, you are just to divorce your spouse for cheating on you. It's a true story. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus himself. What God has joined together, don't let man put apart, for if you divorce your wife except for adultery, you cause her to sin and commit adultery. Jesus said it. Joseph was a just man getting ready to divorce this cheating woman. But he was just because what he wasn't going to do was drag her out into the square like John chapter 8 and have her stoned. He was a just man. He was just. He was justified by the law and later by the words of his own son. But he wasn't about to shame her. He wasn't about to put it in the newspaper, to drag her before the city officials. He was a just man, going to justly divorce her, but not make a mockery of her and a shame of her. Not just keep talking about it, wearing it and putting it on today and tomorrow and next week. He was a just man. It's not about shaming the other person who sinned against you. And praise God, an angel showed up and said, hold it, hold it. You're not seeing it right. There's so many things you don't understand going on here. Mary, Mary the woman, Mary, Mary. And grace stepped in. And this just man, he believed it. He believed it. She ain't pregnant by any man. She hadn't cheated on you. That's God's baby. You're going to raise it. And he believed it. And it was counted to him. He's a just man. He's a just man. You see, his belief is all over this passage. His faith in God is all over this passage. Even to the point where he's ridiculed for marrying this pregnant woman. Oh, really? She didn't cheat on you, right? He believed. Nothing made him waver. Nothing made him waver. He's a just man. When God speaks, I listen. And when God speaks, that's it. And God's got righteousness, that's it. I don't have anything to add to it. It is finished. It is finished. Don't get me wrong. It's ridiculous that I even have to add this addendum. If you've ever counseled with me, marital counseling, you know I have never said, you know, you can divorce him. I think that would be best. I will never counsel you that way. I don't care if he or she has cheated on you 16 times. You're not going to hear me say that. You're going to hear me say you need to get alone with God and the Word of God and pray your guts out until God tells you what to do. Do you have an open door? Absolutely. If you're sure he cheated or she cheated, door's open. I get you that. But I am never going to tell you what to do. I am never going to tell you to divorce your spouse. That's you and God. You believe God. That's the truth. So with that addendum, so that you don't walk out of here saying what you thought you heard that you didn't hear, Joseph was a just man. Think about it. Think about it. Think about what is just. Have you been living your life on what is just in your eyes, in your heart, in your mind? Or are you willing this day to trust God's righteousness? That will gain you everything. That will gain you everything. But you and I, we have got to sit down and look at ourselves really closely in the mirror and say, what am I not believing about God's righteousness? What am I trying to add to the pot? What little works am I trying to tack on here? Have you submitted to God's righteousness? That's the question. Are you just in God's eyes? I know from having a number of conversations with so many in this room now, you are working at it. And that's unbelief. That's not submitting to God's righteousness. And I am begging you from the bottom of my heart, Jesus is enough. The cross and the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't add one drop of your beauty and goodness to that. And if you can, you're an unbeliever. You're a total unbeliever in the power and majesty and beauty and greatness of Jesus Christ and His cross. And He was raised for our justification so that we could be called and declared by the Creator God of all things innocent. And no, you can't live any way you want. Are you just? Think about it. Please go home. Please, please. I love you. I am begging you, go home. Throw all your traditions, all your history, all your mama and your daddy and your grandma, throw everything out and trust God. Trust Him. And if you don't know, read it. Romans 5, Romans 10, Romans 9. Read it for God's sake. Read it. And ask yourself, is that me? And if you are, you're trusting in Him alone. Are you a critical, just person? Or are you a builder? Are you a squabbler with all these other so-called just people that do these crazy things? Or are you a builder? You're going to build it. I'm going to build righteousness. I'm going to build this place up. I'm going to help and encourage. I'm not going to hinder anybody here. And like Joseph, are you willing to do the right thing the right way? The right way with the right heart and the right spirit and the right attitude. Are you just in how you do it? Sometimes we do the right thing with totally wrong motives. Sometimes we do the right thing with a totally flapping mouth about how you have to do the right thing now and cover this person's butt and do all this and do this. And you just, blah, 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 and I'm going to do the right thing, but I don't like it. Blah, 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 blah. Would you shut up and do the right thing the right way like Joseph? Are you willing to do the right with the right heart and the right mind? That's what I'm asking. Because just people, it's going to come out. It will come out, just like it came out of Joseph. He was going to divorce her, but not put her to shame. And his justness was just oozing out when the angel said, "She ain't slept with nobody, brother. Oh, that's God's baby. Oh, okay, I'll marry her then." Man, it just kept growing. His faith just kept growing and growing and growing and doing the right thing with the right heart in the right way showed just how just he was. Just how just he was. I'm asking you to begin 2020 on the right foot and think about it. I've given you enough to go home and burn up the phone lines talking bad about me today, and I don't care. Go ahead. Ain't like be the first time, right? But I am preaching to you from the bottom of my heart because I want to see every person in here submit to God's righteousness and get off your own. Leave it alone. You and your dog and cat are not all saved because you go to church on Sunday. Please, please submit to God's righteousness. He is good. He has provided it all, done it all. Bank on it. Bank on it. Nail it down. Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished, it's finished." Leave it alone. Trust it. Got a song?